Ave Maria, and welcome to Divine Poetry, a series that explores the chronological parallels between the history of the Catholic Church and the Old Testament. If you're new to this concept, go back and watch my interview with Kevin Davis. The link is in the video description below. To make things more simple, I have divided up church history and the Old Testament into 8 color-coded time periods. Below, you can see a scrolling bar with the names, dates, and the Old Testament books for each period. Use this timeline to guide you in each video. The color frame of each video will match the time period that we're discussing. Now, let's start today's episode. Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of Divine Poetry. So today we're going to finish off a 3-part series concerning the parallels between the books of the Maccabees and Novus Ordo and Vatican II. If you go back and watch, if you haven't seen our prior 2 parts of the series, you should go back and watch them because they're very relevant to what we're talking about today. I'll put the link to those videos in the description section of this video so you can find them pretty easily. All right. Here is my book. It is done. I just have to finish up the bibliography a little bit and touch it up. But the release date is going to be on Easter Monday. So I'm so excited about that, of course. If you want a copy of the book with this brochure, which is a summary timeline that has all the parallels in summary, of course, I will include it with this book. If you order through us, right? If you order through Amazon, which you can do, I won't be able to provide you with a copy of this brochure. If you want to reserve a copy of this, because I'm only ordering a limited amount, I don't know what demand's going to be, then go to the website, maccabeanuprising.com, and just simply give me your name and your email address, and if you want to, your phone number, because sometimes emails go to spam. And then I will text you or email you when the book is released, and it'll reserve your copy of these two these two items right here together. So that's great. Thank you. Let's start with today's topics. I want to say right from the beginning a little caveat. This video is going to discuss the SSPX and the Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. Of course, I recognize the problems of the SSPX position, and I don't condone them. But nonetheless, I will be talking about them because they are part of the parallels. Say that off the top. You will notice, though, if you follow what I'm saying throughout this video, you'll see neither does the books of the Maccabees. The parallels also point to the same problems that we also recognize ourselves, which is really interesting. That's why I want to present this right now. Okay, in our last 2 videos, the main point that I think I want to take away from it is that the Novus Ordo is a parallel for the Abomination of Desolation that Antiochus put on a second altar in the Jewish temple. So that is that's probably the most significant thing that I think we could take away. Now, it's not just that is parallel. There's a whole string of events before and after that are in continuity with each other that just further nest that parallel into the context of our history and Old Testament history. So it's not like a cherry-picked parallel. It's nested inside of a very long string of continuous prefigurement. But it's important to keep that in mind, because once Antiochus did that, he made Jerusalem apostatize, or he killed them if they didn't. There was a response by the Jews in the Old Testament, and that of course is the Maccabean uprising. That's what the books of the Maccabees is all about. It's about this uprising that the Jews answered with. Okay, so there was one old priest in the hill country of Judea, which is west of Jerusalem, northwest of Jerusalem, in a little town called Modin. His name is Mattathias. The king sent messengers, King Antiochus, the evil Greek king, sent messengers to Mattathias and asked him to be the first in that town to perform the pagan sacrifice. Mattathias refused, and he killed the king's messengers. He proclaimed that he was going to protect and promote the law of laws of God, and then he fled into the mountains. Let me read this 2 paragraphs of text from the Old Testament books of the Maccabees. There's a lot of points in here that I want to talk about. Okay, I'm quoting now. And they that were sent from King Antiochus came thither to compel them that were fled into the city of Modin to sacrifice and to burn incense and to depart from the law of God. And many of the people of Israel consented and came to them. But Mattathias and his sons stood firm. And they that were sent from Antiochus, answering, told Mattathias, Thou art a ruler and an honorable and great man in this city, and adorned the sons and brethren. Therefore come thou first and obey the king's commandment, as all nations have done, and the men of Judah, and they that may remain in Jerusalem. And thou and thy sons shall be in the number of the king's friends. Remember that term, king's friends. That's important later. And enriched with gold and silver and many presents. Then Mattathias answered and said with a loud voice, although all nations obey King Antiochus, so as to depart every man from the service of the law of his fathers and consent to his commandments, I and my sons and my brethren will not obey the law of our fathers. God be merciful unto us. It is not profitable for us to forsake the law and the justices of God. We will not hearken to the words of King Antiochus, neither will we sacrifice and transgress the commandments of our laws to go another way. And Mattathias cried out in the city with a loud voice, saying, everyone that hath zeal for the law and maintaineth the testament, let him follow me. So he and his sons fled into the mountains and left all that they had in the city. In church history, there were many bishops who rejected, there were a handful of bishops who rejected the Novus Ordo and Vatican II. The one who fled to the mountains, who started an organization to fight back, was Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. He started a seminary in the Alps. You really can't get much more into the mountains than the Alps. If you look at pictures of Econe, you see towering white snow-capped mountains in the background. So the images are very clear. In 1975 and 1976, on the SSPX website, they record a history of six Vatican visitations that were sent from the Vatican to Econe. And the Archbishop, per the SSPX, recounted them as being very liberal and very modernist. They wanted women priests and all kinds of things like that. Their message, though, was, this is again per the SSPX website, their message was that if the Archbishop and his ecclesial sons would just perform one Novus Ordo, then all would be well, and they would be allowed to continue the little traditionalist enclave in the mountains, undeterred and unharassed by the Vatican. And so the SSPX then goes on to assert in that article that the Archbishop refused to even say just one Novus Ordo. And of course, this reflects very much with what happened with Mattathias. The king's messengers came and said, just do the sacrifice and you'll be one of the king's friends. And of course, he said no, and they fled into the mountains. So there's a striking similarity there, I think. So then Mattathias and his sons, they started to fight back. Okay, so I'm going to read another passage here from the Books of the Maccabees. And this is not too lengthy, but it's moderately lengthy. And Mattathias and his friends went around about, and they threw down the altars, and they circumcised all the children whom they found in the confines of Israel that were uncircumcised. And they did valiantly, and they pursued after the children of pride, and the work prospered in their hands. And they recovered the law out of the hands of the nations and out of the hands of the kings, and they yielded not the horn to the sinner. Now the days drew near that Mattathias should die, and he said to his sons, now hath pride and chastisement gotten strength, and the time of destruction and the wrath of indignation. Now, therefore, O my sons, be ye zealous for the law, and give your lives for the covenant of your fathers, and call to remembrance the works of the fathers which they had done in their generations, and ye shall receive great glory and an everlasting name. You, therefore, my sons, take courage and behave manfully in the law, for by it you shall be glorious. And then skipping down a couple verses, it says, and he blessed them, and he was joined to his fathers. So he died. And he died and in the 146th year, and he was buried by his sons in the sepulchres of his fathers in Modin. And all Israel mourned him with great mourning. Okay, so a couple points there. The Maccabees, led by Mattathias initially, they started to bring the traditional religion back to the people in Judea. So, okay, good. Then he passed on his uprising to his sons, told them to act manfully and to obey the laws of God. And then he died and he was buried in the hill town of Modin, which is where it all started from in the first place. Now, going to church history, you have the SSPX after they've hardened their position against the Vatican in terms of after they determined that they were not going to yield and say one Novus Ordo Mass, they started to spread out. They went across the world. They built chapels here and there in America and in France, many places. And I mean, a lot of places. They started to bring traditional Catholicism in a generic sense back to the Catholics of the world, which is what the Maccabees were doing here. And then, of course, the Archbishop is elderly in 1988. And I think, don't quote me, but I think I heard that he was diagnosed with cancer and he knew he was going to pass away soon. So he consecrated four bishops. And so therefore, he is passing on his rebellion or uprising to his ecclesial sons. And of course, the Archbishop does pass away, I think, in 1991. And where is he buried at? Of course, he's buried in a cone. It says that Mathathias is buried in Modane, and the Archbishop is buried in a cone. So amazing. All right, time goes on. I'm skipping a lot of events. The Books of the Maccabees has been a very difficult book for me to wrap my head around. The beginning couple chapters are easy with the abomination of desolation and women thrusting themselves in the holy places and Eleazar and everything we covered in prior videos. But after a couple chapters in, it gets pretty confusing because there's a lot of events that are stacked really close together. There's a lot of new names going in there. And the writing style, at least in my opinion, it's hard to understand. So I need to do better at sitting down with the Maccabees and understanding some of the more details at the end. So I'm skipping a little bit, but let me kind of like brush over some of the details in the middle and get to the transition of power, because the Maccabees were initially led by Judas Maccabeus. He was the initial hero. Well, he died in battle, and his brother Jonathan got a hold of the leadership. Now Jonathan saw an opportunity because there was a civil war between the Greeks. Antiochus died, and they were vying for his throne. So Jonathan saw an opportunity for diplomacy. So here's I'm going to read a passage here from Maccabees again. And he commanded that Jonathan's garments should be taken off. Now this he we're talking about is one of the Greek contenders for the kingdom of the Seleucids. I think his name is Demetrius. Okay, but so he commanded that Jonathan's garments should be taken off and that he should be clothed with purple, which is royalty. And they did so. And the king made him sit by himself. And he said to his princes, go out with him into the midst of the city and make proclamation that no man complain against him or on any matter, and that no man trouble him for any manner or cause. So when his accusers saw his glory proclaimed, Jonathan's glory proclaimed, and him clothed with purple, they all fled away. And the king magnified him and enrolled him amongst his chief friends and made him governor and partaker of his dominance. So here we have Jonathan receiving the title of chief friend of the king. And if you remember, I just read earlier that Mathathias refused to be counted among the friends of the king. So what we have here is Jonathan making a pact or a diplomatic compromise with the same Greeks that Mathathias refused to compromise with in the beginning. And of course, we see in this the SSPX. Okay. I've been in the traditional Catholic world, so to speak, for about 8 years now, and it wasn't very long that I heard people talking about how the SSPX is compromising, how they're different than they used to be in the past. I was not part of the traditional movement, so to speak, back in the 70s and early 80s, or even in the 90s. I didn't know how they were before and after, but from what I hear, that their stance shifted. And they started to want to make deals with Rome. They wanted to integrate with Rome. And that's what Jonathan is doing here with the Seleucids. Now, Josephus recounts, I'm going to put the quote up here, but I don't want to quote it all because I'm already running low on time, that Josephus, who's a Jewish historian that wrote after Christ, he denied Christ, but he still was a very great historian. He wrote that Jonathan later on sent 3,000 soldiers to fight with Demetrius. So what I'm saying here is that Jonathan, the leader of the Maccabees, was not just receiving titles from the Greeks, he was integrating his army with the Greeks. And of course, we see in that the integration of the SSPX of Novus Ordo clergy, who maybe or maybe not are reordained, we don't know. So there's an integration now with the very people they were fighting with at the beginning. So that's incredible. All right, a couple more things. I'm doing pretty well. Let me just back off the quotes for a little bit and give you a little commentary. So the Maccabees were not of the line of Zadok. Now, the line of Zadok was the line of the high priest that dates all the way back to King David and King Solomon. Zadok was the high priest back then, and every single high priest after Zadok all came from his lineage until the books of the Maccabees. So you had the last valid, or I guess true high priest at the beginning of the books of the Maccabees. His name was Onias. He was killed, and his grandson or son went into exile into Egypt, and we'll talk about him in a minute. But the Maccabees, with Mathathias and his sons, they were not from the line of Zadok. Yet they filled the void of traditional Jewish leadership. So when the Maccabees took back Judea and Jerusalem and brought the traditional religion back to the people, they became the de facto high priest in Jerusalem, even though they weren't from the line of Zadok. So they were kind of placing themselves in the authority of the real authority because there was a vacuum there. So you have, after Jonathan dies, the Maccabees morph into and they become the Hasmonean dynasty. Maybe you've heard of that. The Hasmonean dynasty was the dynasty that maintained the high priesthood just up until King Herod's time. So you can see there, like this, the SSPX has many, this resonates with the SSPX because one of the criticisms of the SSPX is, listen, you say that he's the real Pope, yet you say don't listen to him. So what the SSPX is doing there is making themselves a substitute authority in the place of what they would see as the Rome being a deficient authority. I don't want to get into the SSPX's mind, right? But the idea though is that they're placing themselves as a substitute authority, just like the Hasmoneans did. There's a lot of things I'm not mentioning here because so I guess it's only a cursory summary video. But let me bring one more point to bear, and I'll cut the video there because this is probably getting too much detail for even for me. Even for me, my head swims with this stuff. Okay, going forward in time quite a bit, in 70 AD, the Romans were about to, in 66, 67 AD, the Jews were about to launch a revolt against the Romans. The one thing that was a clear sign to the Jews and to the Romans that the Jews had the intent to revolt was they stopped praying for and mentioning the emperor's name in their sacrifice. So I'm going to read from Josephus here for a second. And this is Josephus telling us about that cessation of the emperor's name being mentioned in the sacrifice. Okay. At the same time, Eleazar, the son of Ananias, the high priest, a very bold youth, was at that time governor of the temple. He persuaded those that officiated in the divine service to receive no gift or sacrifice from any foreigner, Romans. And this was the true beginning of our war with the Romans, for they rejected the sacrifice of Caesar on this account. And when many of the high priests and principal men besought them not to omit the sacrifice, which it was customary for them to offer for their princes, they would not be prevailed upon. So you had a zealous son of the high priest who was the governor. He wanted to stop saying the pagan Roman emperor's name in the temple sacrifice and stop offering sacrifice for the pagan Roman emperor. Now, the Romans knew the Jews were a religious people, and they knew this was a very severe thing. Now, contrast this with Unicum. We criticize the SSPX for mentioning Francis's name in the Mass. It's just that one little name they throw in there. They say, and with Francis our Pope. So you would have to think that there are those in the SSPX who are super upset that they have to say Francis's name in the Mass. Could it be that we might see a revolt against Rome on the part of the SSPX, and it might start with that? So we'll see. I'm just mentioning, throwing it out there. Okay, that should be all for today. I hope this was cogent, and I hope it made sense because there's a lot of stuff to cover. I'm missing so many details. I'm missing the Ecclesia Dei split with the FFSP and the SSPX, and there's a lot of other things. I'm missing Benedict the 16th. He had a lot to do with this, but I just simply can't include it all in my video. And I want to move on to another subject after this anyway. So anyway, Ave Maria, glory be to God, and God bless you all.